This appears to be a dream. Let me out, please, said a familiar voice. Who are you? Said Tiffany.
You.
Cough, please. Tiffany thought, well, if this is a dream. And she coughed. A figure grew up out of the snow on the deck. It was her, and she was looking around thoughtfully. Are you me too? Tiffany asked. Strangely, here on the freezing deck, it didn't seem that, well, strange.
Hmm?
Oh, yes, said the other Tiffany, still staring intently at things. I'm your third thoughts, remember? The part of you that never stops thinking. The bit that notices little details. It's good to be out in the fresh air.
Hmm.
Is there something wrong? Well, this clearly appears to be a dream. If you would care to look, you'll see that the steersman in yellow oilskins up there at the wheel is the jolly sailor off the wrappers of the tobacco that Granny Aching used to smoke. He always comes into our mind when we think about the sea, yes? Tiffany looked up at the bearded figure, who gave her a cheerful wave. Yes, that's certainly him, she said. But I don't think this is our dream exactly, said the third thoughts. It's too real. Tiffany reached down and picked up a handful of snow. Feels real, she said. Feels cold. She made a snowball and threw it at herself. I really wish I wouldn't do that, said the other Tiffany, brushing the snow off her shoulder. But you see what I mean. Dreams are never as non-dreamlike as this. I know what I mean, said Tiffany. I think they're going to be real, and then something weird turns up. Exactly. I don't like it at all. If this is a dream, then something horrible is going to happen. They looked ahead of the ship. There was a dismal, dirty bank of fog there, spreading out across the sea. There's something in the fog, said the Tiffanys together. They turned and scurried up the ladder to the man at the wheel. Keep away from the fog. Please, don't go near it, Tiffany shouted. The jolly sailor took his pipe out of his mouth and looked puzzled.
A good smoke in any weather, he said to Tiffany.
What? It's all he can say, said her third thoughts, grabbing the wheel. Remember, that's what he says on the label. The jolly sailor pushed her away gently.
A good smoke in any weather, he said soothingly. In any weather.
Look, we only want to... Tiffany began, but her third thoughts, without a word, put a hand on her head and turned her around. Something was coming out of the fog. It was an iceberg. A large one, at least 5 times as high as the ship, as majestic as a swan. It was so big that it was causing its own weather. It seemed to be moving slowly. There was white water around its base. Snow fell around it. Streamers of fog trailed behind it. The jolly sailor's pipe dropped out of his mouth as he stared.
A good smoke, he swore.
The iceberg was Tiffany. It was a Tiffany, hundreds of feet high, formed of glittering green ice, but it was still a Tiffany. There were seabirds perched on her head. It can't be the Wintersmith doing this, said Tiffany. I threw the horse away. She cupped her hands to her mouth and shouted, I threw the horse away! Her voice echoed off the looming ice figure. A few birds took off from the huge cold head, screaming. Behind Tiffany, the ship's wheel spun. The jolly sailor stamped a foot and pointed to the white sails above them.
A good smoke in any weather, he commanded.
I'm sorry, I don't know what you mean, said Tiffany desperately. The man pointed to the sails and made frantic pulling motions with his hands.
A good smoke!
Sorry, I just can't understand you. The sailor snorted and ran off toward a rope, which he hauled on in a great hurry. It's gotten weird, said her third thoughts quietly. Well, yes, I should think a huge iceberg shaped like me is a... No, that's just strange. This is weird, said her third thoughts. We've got passengers. Look. She pointed. Down on the main deck, there was a row of hatches with big iron grids on them. Tiffany hadn't noticed them before. Hands, hundreds of them, pale as roots under a log, groping and waving, were thrusting through the grids.
Passengers? Tiffany whispered in horror.
Oh, no. And then the screaming started. It would have been better, but not a lot better, if it had been cries of help and save us. But instead it was just screaming and wailing, just the sounds of people in pain and fear.
No.
Come back inside my head, she said grimly. It's too distracting to have you running around outside, right now.
I'll walk in from behind you, said her third thoughts. Then it won't seem so... Tiffany felt a twinge of pain and a change in her mind and thought, well, I suppose it could have been a lot messier. Okay, let me think. Let all of me think. She watched the desperate hands waving like weeds underwater and thought, I'm in something like a dream, but I don't think it's mine. I'm on a ship, and we're going to get killed by an iceberg that's a giant figure of me. I think I liked it better when I was Snowflakes. Whose dream is this? What is this about, Wintersmith? She asked. And her third thoughts, back where they should be, commented, It's amazing. You can even see your own breath in the air. Is this a warning? Tiffany shouted. What do you want? You for my bride, said the Wintersmith. The words just arrived in her memory. Tiffany's shoulders sank. You know this isn't real, said her third thoughts. But it may be the shadow of something real. I shouldn't have let Granny Weatherwax send Rob anybody away like that. Crivens, shiver me timber, shouted a voice behind her. And then there was the usual clamour. It's timbers, you dafty. Aye, but I can only find one.
Splice the big plank. Daft Woolley's just walked into the water.
The big pudding. I told him, just the one eye patch.
With a yo-ho-ho and a ho-yo-yo.
Feagles erupted from the cabin behind Tiffany, and Rob Anybody stopped in front of her as the rest streamed past. He saluted. "Sorry we're a wee bitty late, but we had to find the black patches," he said. "There's sich a thing as style, you can." Tiffany was speechless, but only for a moment. She pointed. "We've got to stop this ship from hitting that iceberg." "Just that? Nay problemo!" Rob looked past her to the looming ice giantess and grinned. "He's got your nose just right, eh?" "Just stop it, please," Tiffany pleaded. "Aye, aye, come on, lads!" Watching the Feagles working was like watching ants, except that ants didn't wear kilts and shout Crivens all the time. Maybe it was because they could make one word do so much work that they seemed to have no problem at all with the jolly sailors' orders. They swarmed across the deck. Mysterious ropes were pulled. Sails moved and billowed to a chorus of a good smoke and Crivens. Now the Wintersmith wants to marry me, Tiffany thought. Oh, dear. She'd sometimes wondered if she'd get married one day, but she was definite that now was too soon for one day. Yes, her mother had been married when she was still 14, but that was the sort of thing that happened in the olden days. There were a lot of things to be done before Tiffany ever got married. She was very clear about that. Besides, when you thought about it, yuck, he wasn't even a person. He'd be too... thud. Went the wind in the sails. The ship creaked and leaned over, and everyone was shouting at her. Mostly they shouted, "The wheel! Grab the wheel! Right new!" Although there was also a desperate, "A good smoke in any weather!" in there too. Tiffany turned to see the wheel spinning in a blur. She made a snatch at it and got thumped across the fingers by the spokes, but there was a length of rope coiled nearby, and she managed to lasso the wheel with a loop and jerk it to a halt without sliding along the deck too much. Then she grabbed the wheel and tried to turn it the other way. It was like pushing a house, but it did move, very slowly at first, and then faster as she put her back into it. The ship came around. She could feel it moving, beginning to head a little bit away from the iceberg, not directly for it. Good. Things were going right at last. She spun the wheel some more, and now the huge cold wall was sliding past, filling the air with mist. Everything was going to be all right after... The ship hit the iceberg. It started with a simple crack as a spar caught on an outcrop, but then others smashed as the ship scraped along the side of the ice. Then there were some sharp splintering noises as the ship ground onward and bits of plank shot up on columns of foaming water. The top of a mast broke off, dragging sails and rigging with it. A lump of ice smashed onto the deck a few feet away from Tiffany, showering her with needles. "This isn't how it's supposed to go!" she panted, hanging on to the wheel. "Marry me," said the Wintersmith. Churning white water roared across the foundering ship. Tiffany held on for a moment longer, then the cold surf covered her, except that it was suddenly not cold, but warm. But it was still stopping her from breathing. In the darkness, she tried to fight her way to the surface until the blackness was suddenly pulled aside, her eyes filled with light, and a voice said, "I'm sure these mattresses are far too soft, but you can't tell Mrs. Ogg a thing." Tiffany blinked. She was in bed, and a skinny woman with worried hair and a rather red nose was standing by it. "You were tossing and turning like a mad thing," the woman said, putting a steaming mug on a small table by the bed. One day, someone will suffocate, mark my words. Tiffany blinked again. I'm supposed to think, oh, it was just a dream. But it wasn't just a dream. Not my dream. What time is it? She managed. About 7, said the woman. 7? Tiffany pushed the sheets back. I've got to get up. Mrs. Ogg will be wanting her breakfast. I shouldn't think so. I took it to her in bed not 10 minutes ago, said the woman, giving Tiffany a look. And I'm off home, she sniffed. Drink your tea before it gets cold. And with that, she marched towards the door. Is Mrs. Ogg ill? Asked Tiffany, looking everywhere for her socks. She'd never heard of anyone who wasn't really old or very ill having a meal in bed. Ill? I don't think she's had a day's illness in her life, said the woman, managing to suggest that in her opinion this was unfair. She shut the door. Even the bedroom floor was smooth. Not made smooth by centuries of feet that had worn down the planks and taken all the splinters out, but because someone had sanded and varnished it. Tiffany's bare feet stuck to it slightly. There was no dust to be seen, no spiderwebs anywhere. The room was bright and fresh, and exactly unlike any room in a witch's cottage ought to be. I'm going to get dressed, she said to the air. Are there any feagles in here? Ach, no, said a voice from under the bed. There was some frantic whispering, and the voice said, That is to say, there's hardly any of us here at all. Then shut your eyes, said Tiffany. She got dressed, taking occasional sips of the tea as she did so. Tea brought to your bedside when you weren't ill? That sort of thing happened to kings and queens. And then she noticed the bruise on her fingers. It didn't hurt at all, but the skin was blue where the ship's wheel had hit it. Right. Feagles, she said. Crivens, you'll nae be fooling us a second time, said the voice from under the bed. Get out here where I can see you, daft woolly, Tiffany commanded. It's real haggling, mister, way you always ken it's me. After some more urgent whispering, Daft Woolly, for it was indeed he, trooped out with 2 more feagles and Horace the cheese. Tiffany stared. All right, he was a blue cheese, so he was about the same colour as a feagle. And he acted like a feagle, no doubt about that. Why, though, had he got a grubby strip of feagle tartan around him? He kind of found us, said Daft Woolly, putting his arm around as much of Horace as was possible. Can I keep him? He understands every word I say. That's amazing, because I don't, said Tiffany. Look, were we in a shipwreck last night? Ooh, aye, sorta. Sort of. Was it real or wasn't it? Ooh, aye, said the feagle nervously. Which, Tiffany insisted. Kinda real and kinda not real. In a real, unreal sorta way, said Daft Woolly, squirming a bit. I don't have the knowing o' the right word is. Are all you feagles okay? Why, miss, said Daft Woolly, brightening up. Nay problemo. It was only a dream ship on a dream sea after a. And a dream iceberg, said Tiffany. Ach, no. The iceberg was real, mistress. I thought so. Are you sure? Aye. We're good at the knowing o' stuff like that, said Daft Woolly. That's so, eh, lads? The other 2 feagles, in total awe of being in the presence of the big wee hag without the safety of hundreds of brothers around them, nodded at Tiffany and then tried to shuffle behind each other. A real iceberg, shaped like me, is floating around on the sea, said Tiffany in horror. Getting in the way of shipping. Aye, could be, said Daft Woolly. I'm going to get into so much trouble, said Tiffany, standing up. There was a snapping noise, and the end of one of the floorboards leapt out of the floor and hung there, bouncing up and down with a rocking chair noise. It had ripped out 2 long nails. And now this, said Tiffany weakly, but the feagles and Horace had vanished. Behind Tiffany someone laughed, although it was maybe more of a chuckle, deep and real, and with just a hint that maybe someone had told a rude joke. Those little devils can't half run, eh? Said Nanny Ogg, ambling into the room. Now then, Tiff, I want you to turn around slowly and go and sit on your bed with your feet off the ground. Can you do that? Of course, Mrs. Ogg, said Tiffany. Look, I'm sorry about... Poh, what's a floorboard, more or less, said Nanny Ogg. I'm much more worried about Esme Weatherwax. She said there might be something like this. Ha! She was right and Miss Tick was wrong. There'll be no living with her after this. She'll have her nose so far in the air her feet won't touch the ground. With a spoing sound, another floorboard sprang up. "And it might be a good idea if yours didn't either, miss," Nanny-Og added. "I'll be back in half a tick." That turned out to be the same length of time as 27 seconds, when Nanny returned, carrying a pair of violently pink slippers with bunny rabbits on them. "My second best pair," she said, as behind her a board went plunk and hurled four big nails into the far wall. The boards that had already sprung up were beginning to sprout what looked a lot like leaves. They were thin and weedy, but leaves were what they were. "Is it me doing this?" asked Tiffany nervously.
"I dare say Esme will want to tell you all about it herself," said Nanny, helping Tiffany's feet into the slippers. "But what you've got here, miss, is a bad case of ped fecundis."
In the back of Tiffany's memory, Dr. Sensibility Bustle, DM Phil, BLL, stirred in his sleep for a moment and took care of the translation. "Fertile feet," said Tiffany.
"Well done. I didn't expect anything to happen to floorboards, mind you, but it makes sense when you think about it. They're made of wood after all, so they're trying to grow."
"Mrs. Og," said Tiffany.
"Yes?"
"Please, I haven't got a clue what you're talking about. I keep my feet very clean, and I think I'm a giant iceberg."
Nanny Og gave her a slow, kind look. Tiffany stared into dark, twinkling eyes. "Don't try to trick her, or hold anything back from those eyes," said her third thoughts. "Everyone says she's been Granny Weatherwax's best friend since they were girls, and that means that under all those wrinkles must be nerves of steel."
"Kettle's on downstairs," said Nanny brightly. "Why don't you come down and tell me all about it?"
Tiffany had looked up strumpet in the unexpurgated dictionary and found it meant a woman who is no better than she should be, and a lady of easy virtue. This, she decided after some working out, meant that Mrs. Geetha Og, known as Nanny, was a very respectable person. She found virtue easy, for one thing, and if she was no better than she should be, then she was just as good as she ought to be. She had a feeling that Miss Treason hadn't meant this, but you couldn't argue with logic. Nanny Og was good at listening, at least. She listened like a great big ear, and before Tiffany realized it, she was telling her everything. Everything. Nanny sat on the opposite side of the big kitchen table, puffing gently at a pipe with a hedgehog carved on it. Sometimes she'd ask a little question, like, "Why was that?" or, "And then what happened?" and off they'd go again. Nanny's friendly little smile could drag out of you things you didn't know you knew. While they talked, Tiffany's third thought scanned the room out of the corners of her eyes. It was wonderfully clean and bright, and there were ornaments everywhere. Cheap, jolly ones. The sort that have things like "To the World's Best Mum" on them. And where there weren't ornaments, there were pictures of babies and children and families. Tiffany had thought that only grand folk lived in homes like this. There were oil lamps. There was a bath made of tin, hanging conveniently on a hook outside the privy. There was a pump actually indoors. But Nanny ambled around in her rather worn black dress, not grand at all. From the best chair in the room of ornaments, a large grey cat watched Tiffany with a half-open eye that glinted with absolute evil. Nanny had referred to him as "Grebo, don't mind him, he's just a big old softy," which Tiffany knew well enough to interpret as "he'll have his claws in your leg if you go anywhere near him." Tiffany talked as she hadn't talked to anyone before. It must be a kind of magic, her third thoughts concluded. Witches soon picked up ways of controlling people with their voices, but Nanny Og listened at you.
"This lad Roland, who is not your young man," said Nanny when Tiffany had paused for breath. "Thinking of marrying him, are you?"
"Don't lie," her third thoughts insisted.
"I... well, your mind comes up with all kinds of things when you're not paying attention, doesn't it?" said Tiffany. "It's not like thinking. Anyway, all the other boys I've met just stare at their stupid feet. Petulia says it's because of the hat."
"Well, taking it off helps," said Nanny Og. "Mind you, so did a low-cut bodice when I was a girl. Stopped them looking at their stupid feet, I don't mind telling you."
Tiffany saw the dark eyes locked onto her. She burst out laughing. Mrs. Og's face broke into a huge grin that should have been locked up for sake of public decency, and for some reason Tiffany felt a lot better. She'd passed some kind of test.
"Mind you, that probably wouldn't work with a wintersmith, of course," said Nanny,
and the gloom came down again.
"I didn't mind the snowflakes," said Tiffany, "but the iceberg, I think that was a bit much."
"Showing off in front of the girls," said Nanny, puffing at her hedgehog pipe. "Yes, they do that."
"But he can kill people. He's Winter. It's what he does. But I reckon he's in a bit of a tizzy, because he's never been in love with a human before."
"In love?"
"Well, he probably thinks he is."
Once again the eyes watched her carefully.
"He's an elemental, and they're simple, really," Nanny Ogg went on. "But he's trying to be human, and that's complicated. We're packed with stuff he doesn't understand. Can't understand, really. Anger, for example. A blizzard is never angry. The storm don't hate the people who die in it. The wind is never cruel. But the more he thinks about you, the more he's having to deal with feelings like this, and there's none can teach him. He's not very clever. He's never had to be. And the interesting thing is that you are changing too."
There was a knocking at the door. Nanny Ogg got up and opened it. Granny Weatherwax was there, with Miss Tick peering over her shoulder.
"Blessings be upon this house," said Granny, but in a voice that suggested that if blessings needed to be taken away, she could do that too.
"Quite probably," said Nanny Ogg.
"It's Ped Fecundis, then," Granny nodded at Tiffany.
"Looks like a bad case. The floorboards started growing after she walked over them in bare feet."
"Ha! Have you given her anything for it?" said Granny.
"I prescribed a pair of slippers."
"I really don't see how avatarization can be taking place. Not when we're talking about elementals. It makes no—"
Miss Tick began.
"Do stop wittering, Miss Tick," said Granny Weatherwax. "I notices you witter when things goes wrong, and it is not being a help."
"I don't want to worry the child, that's all," said Miss Tick.
She took Tiffany's hand, patted it, and said, "Don't you worry, Tiffany. We'll—"
"She's a witch," said Granny sternly. "We just have to tell her the truth."
"You think I'm turning into a goddess?" said Tiffany.
It was worth it to see their faces. The only mouth not in an O was the one belonging to Granny Weatherwax, which was smirking. She looked like someone whose dog has just done a rather good trick.
"How did you work that out?" Granny asked.
Dr. Bustle had a guess. Avatar, an incarnation of a god. "But I'm not going to tell you that," Tiffany thought.
"Well, am I?" she said.
"Yes," said Granny Weatherwax. "The Wintersmith thinks you are. Oh, she's got a lot of names. The Lady of the Flowers is a nice one, or the Summer Lady. She makes the summertime, just like he makes the winter. He thinks you're her."
"All right," said Tiffany, "but we know he's wrong, don't we?"
Not quite as wrong as we'd like," said Miss Tick.
Most of the Feagles had camped out in Nanny Ogg's barn, where they were holding a council of war, except that it was about something that isn't quite the same thing.
"What we've got here," Rob Anybody pronounced, "is a case of romance."
"What's that, Rob?"
asked a Feagle.
"Aye, is it like how we babbies are made?" asked Daft Woolly. "You told us about that last year. It was very interesting, although a bit far-fetched to my mind."
"No, exactly," said Rob Anybody, "and it's kinder hard to describe. But I reckon young Wintersmith wants to romance the big wee hag, and she doesna ken what to do about it."
"So it is like how babbies are made," said Daft Woolly.
"No, 'cause even beasties know that, but only people know about romancing," said Rob. "When a bull coo meets a lady coo, he doesna have to say, 'My heart goes bang, bang, bang when I see your wee face,' 'cause it's kind of built into their heads. People have it more difficult. Romancing is very important, you ken. Basically, it's a way the boy can get close to the girl without her attacking him and scratching his eyes out."
"I dinna see how we can teach her any of that stuff," said Slightly Mad Angus.
"The big wee hag reads books," said Rob Anybody. "When she sees a book, she just canna help herself. And I," he added proudly, "have a plan."
The Feagles relaxed. They always felt happier when Rob had a plan, especially since most plans of his boiled down to screaming and rushing at something.
"Tell us about the plan, Rob," said Big Yan.
"I'm glad you asked me," said Rob. "The plan is, we'll find her a book about romancing."
"And how will we find this book, Rob?"
asked Billy Big Chin uncertainly. He was a loyal Gonagall, but he was also bright enough to get nervous whenever Rob Anybody had a plan. Rob Anybody airily waved a hand.
"Ah," he said, "we ken this trick. All we need is a big hat and coat and a coat hanger and a broom handle."
"Oh, aye," said Big Yan.
Well, I'm not being doon in a knee again.
With witches, everything is a test. That's why they tested Tiffany's feet. I bet that I'm the only person in the world about to do this, she thought, as she lowered both her feet into a tray of soil that Nanny had hastily shovelled up. Granny Weatherwax and Miss Tick were both sitting on bare wooden chairs, despite the fact that the grey cat Grebo was occupying the whole of one big saggy armchair. You didn't want to wake up Grebo when he wanted to sleep.
"Can you feel anything?" asked Miss Tick.
"It's a bit cold, that's all. Oh, something's happening." Green shoots appeared around her feet and grew quickly. Then they went white at the base and gently pushed Tiffany's feet aside as they began to swell.
"Onions," said Granny Weatherwax scornfully.
"Well, they were the only seeds I could find quickly," said Nanny Ogg, poking at the glistening white bulbs. "Good size. Well done, Tiff."
Granny looked shocked.
"You're not going to eat those, are you, Geetha?" she said accusingly.
"You are, aren't you? You're going to eat them!"
Nanny Ogg, standing up with a bunch of onions in each pudgy hand, looked guilty, but only for a moment.
"Why not?" she said stoutly. "Fresh vegetables are not to be sneezed at in the winter. And anyway, her feet are nice and clean."
"It's not seemly," said Miss Tick.
"It didn't hurt," said Tiffany. "All I had to do was put my feet on the tray for a moment."
"Yes, she says it didn't hurt," Nanny Ogg insisted. "Now I think I might have some old carrot seeds in the kitchen drawer."
She saw the expressions on the faces of the others.
All right then. There's no need to look like that," she said. "I was just trying to point out the silver lining, that's all."
"Someone, please tell me what is happening to me," Tiffany wailed.
"Miss Tick is going to give you the answer in some long words," said Granny, "but they boils down to this. It's the story happening. It's making you fit into itself."
Tiffany tried not to look like someone who didn't understand a word that she had just heard.
"I could do with a little bit of the fine detail, I think," she said.
"I think I'll get some tea brewed," said Nanny Ogg.